The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome to Exploring the Word. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our treat on Friday to be Fire Away Friday, question and answer, and we're looking forward to that. But we're going to delay it for a little bit, Alex. We have a very, very special guest with us today, and he and I were
talking. A friend of mine, actually.
Yeah, that's what he and I were talking about. So I want you to take it away and introduce our guest, even when you're not even in the studio. You're in your place, right?
Yeah, well, I'm in Northern Virginia right now getting ready to speak to hundreds of families at a camp, Rockahock Christian Camp in Northern Virginia, and very honored to be here. But let me tell you, I knew of Eric Horner for several years. He's a singer, he's a minister, and just a great defender of the faith. But we did a thing on the National Day of Prayer back in May. And it was my privilege to preach, and Eric did the music. We were in a public high school. We were in a couple of churches. And just, it's an honor to have him on Exploring the Word today on the American Family Radio Network.
Thank you so much. Great to hear your voice, Alex.
Now, are you in the studio at Tupelo?
I am. I'm in Mississippi.
He is right by my side. Matter of fact, I'm telling you what, we're excited about him being here all day, right?
It's been a good day. It has
well,
been a
Eric,
great day.
I want to tell you, and listeners, if you've never yet been to AFA or gone to Tupelo, Eric, you are in the friendliest city in America, in my opinion.
I agree. I just said to my wife, I absolutely love coming here. We just feel like we're part of the family, and everybody's just full of the love of Jesus around here.
Matter of fact, this morning you were able to do our devotional. We have a devotion every morning, mm-hmm. I'm telling you. And today we had a concert, Alex, and it was great. And listen, before
Amen.
We get to Operation, Tank Full of Love, tell them a little bit about music and how they can get some of your music.
Sure,
Eric,
sure.
I love it, especially one about preaching.
Yeah, yeah. Alex actually heard that song on the National Day of Prayer called Preaching on the Cross.
I love it.
We have a brand new album coming out. It will be released the first week. We're going to release it on my birthday on September the 5th. And be shipping it out that week. And if you want to check out our music, you can just visit my website. It's www.erichorner.com. And it's all there, as well as our tour schedule and anything you might want to know about us.
Well, I do love the music, and I enjoy it. I cannot produce it, but I can enjoy it. Go ahead.
For those planning something, you know, I want to recommend that churches have Eric into their city because, I'm the preacher, the evangelist, and he really, really set the table for the preaching of the gospel. And when he had done the music, I mean, I was ready to preach. And so, folks, if you want to plan something really great for 2017, you ought to call Eric.
Thank you so much.
And
Thank
they
you,
go
Alex.
To your website for that, I bet.
Yes, they can. Send us an email and our 800 number's on there, and just give us a shout. We'll put
Amen.
Something together.
Well, I guarantee you, I say this way, if they don't enjoy it, their wood is wet. That was good stuff this morning. I didn't you enjoy Brent? Yeah, Brent and I were back there. I know my foot was tapping, and I guess my hand was. I was just enjoying it.
Well, I was wondering if he's going to get up and dance there
well,
for a minute.
I can. I'm a Baptist-costal. So, Eric, I'm one of those guys. Well, let's talk about Operation Tank Full of Love.
Yes.
And it's going to be September the 17th mm-hmm. when you put the gas in the tanks.
It is. We're going to take over a truck stop just down the road from Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And I'm hoping that we're going to give away over $50,000 worth of gas that day.
$50,000 worth.
If we can do that. Now, this is year number six. If we can do, last year we gave away $54,000. If we can do that well, we'll hit the $250,000 mark in blessing those soldiers there.
And we, when I say we, American Family Radio,
yes.
we've been a part of it for quite a while.
A huge part of it. Your listeners are so amazing.
Well, I tell everybody, the Exploring the Word listeners are some of the most generous in the world.
Yes.
When we have Share-a-thon or anything else, at 3 o'clock, when we go on, we get a spike in the phone calls.
When we were with you last year, we got a spike in the phone calls.
And we want you to do that. And this is how you can do. Here's the call that you can call and donate. 100% of the money you pledge and give goes toward filling up those gas tanks for our soldiers that we appreciate so much, that are guys who are on the – they've been on the front lines or on the front lines, and we want to show their appreciation. We get to – pray a lot of times. We get to pray with them.
Absolutely, we just simply, you know, nobody is pushy. We just say, hey, is there anything we can pray with you about? And 8 out of 10 of them will have some sort of prayer need. Maybe they're facing a deployment. Oftentimes, they're just getting back from a deployment and they're trying to get reacclimated to family life. That's got to be hard to do, to come from the battlefield to being daddy or mom again. And there are so many needs, and we get to pray over them. And it's just a lot of ministry that takes place.
So the number is 877-968-3742. I try to say it slow, but also repeat it. 877-968-3742 is the number. Or they can go tankfulloflove.com, right?
We have a webpage, I can't say, you know, I used to be in radio, and they used to make fun of me. I'd say W. You can't say it like that. It's www.
I know.
www.
Listen.
Tankfulloflove.com.
The radio, that's what's hilarious about this guy, man. I slaughtered the King's English. Listen, let me tell you this, guys. You know, I took the ACT scores after, you know, in high school to go on to college. Now, I waited until I got through. I needed to learn everything I could, so I took it in the summer. I'll put it this way. I'd gotten some scholarships if it hadn't been for the language part in it. And now, how I make my living? Speaking and writing.
Radio, that's right.
Doesn't God have a sense of humor?
He does.
Amen. Well, Alex, go ahead. I know you got some things you want to share with Eric.
Well, you know what? I would love to see this go all the way across the country. Now, folks, this year might not be feasible to do it this year, but what they're doing, Eric, and you add anything I might accidentally leave out, but to show the love and appreciation we have for the servicemen and women, that they make sacrifices, they defend our freedom, and they serve the country, and they're away from their families. You guys are getting their gas, putting some gas in their tank for them, and just ministering to them and giving encouragement. You know, I think about Fort Bragg down in Fayetteville, and I think about Fort Lee up here in Virginia, where I am right now, and all around the country. I mean, this ought to be replicated everywhere, shouldn't it, Eric?
We would like to see that. You know, folks oftentimes will call me, and they'll say, what does it take to do this? And now the first year you get it off the ground, it's a lot of work. But once you do the first one, then you can kind of get it on autopilot. The key factor is getting churches to come together, because this is strictly a gift from the body of Christ. We don't have corporate sponsorship. No, you know, this money is raised strictly from the body. And get folks to come together. I've got Baptists, I got Methodists, I got Presbyterians, I got Pentecostal. I had a gas pump last year. I had a Pentecostal preacher, a Baptist deacon, and a United Methodist lay minister all working the same pump. Nobody fussing about nothing. They all just they had a ball serving those soldiers in the name of Jesus.
Listen, I had a guy, his name was Percy Ray. Alex has read the story about Percy Ray, but
he's a hero.
He was something else. But he said, if you can get people serving, they won't have time to argue.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And that's what's happening there in Tankful of Love, isn't it?
Yep.
They're serving.
If we can get folks to get of that mind, hey, we're going to come together and we're going to work together in the name of Jesus to serve our military, this could happen all over the country.
Amen.
And that's our dream. That's what we want to see happen.
Alex, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Well, it really would. You know, on the website, tankfulloflove.com, folks, you ought to check it out. And if nothing else, at least pray for him. But there's some pictures, and there's a serviceman, and he's got this big grin on his face. He just looks so happy as you all are ministering to them. And Eric, I just want to commend you. And now you're in your, fifth or sixth year, correct?
This is number six.
Wow. Well, let me give that telephone number. Folks, listen very carefully. It's 877-968-3742, or people can learn more or support at tankfulloflove.com.
And it's the goal, 2,500 soldiers. Gasoline down here is a little less expensive than it's been a being. Is it close to Fort Campbell?
What was really cool, last year at Fort Campbell, the gas prices had already come down. The year before, they were like a dollar and something higher. And the year before, we raised $60,000. Last year, we raised $54,000, but it went further. than the 60 did. So, I mean, we served every bit of 1,800 soldiers that day.
If there's not a spike in gasoline prices, you ought to get more bang for your buck.
Absolutely.
And I believe in bang for the buck. You know?
Amen.
this is AFR desiring to work with what you said, churches working together. I think one of the things that God has blessed American Family Radio, mm-hmm. the reason he's blessed us is because we do work with others.
Yeah,
and you can look on our line and you can see this is part of what we do, but we've got many others because we are not called to be collectors. We're to be givers, and it's the channel through us. You remember that old, it was an old hymn, "Make me a channel of blessing."
Blessing, yes.
Do you remember that, Aaron?
Yes, I do.
There's a lot of old songs, and I know they got the old sound to it, you know, but the message sure is good. And "Make me a channel of blessing" is one of those, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a good challenge in that.
I'm challenging you to update it and write it and see
you
do.
All right.
Since you're
we'll
a songwriter, you
we'll
do
work
that?
On that.
Okay. Operation Tank Full of Love. You're going to serve these soldiers. Mm-hmm. What day now?
Saturday, September the 17th.
Okay. And it's going to be there real close to Fort Campbell, the truck stop.
It will.
And you can be a part of it by giving. And that number, Alex has given it. I've given it. I'm going to give it another time. 877-968-3742. 877-968-3742, or you can go online at tankfulloflove.com. Going back real quickly, I know we hadn't got a lot of time, and this is what it's for, but your song for the soldiers, God's used that. Was that written before you started doing Tank Full of Love?
Yeah, that's that song that we did this morning, God Bless My Soldiers, right. too, was from 2005. And that's the song that opened the very first military doors for us. Because of that song, I've been able to sing for over 300,000 of our men and women as they've trained and prepared, to take care of our freedom. And just it's amazing what God can do with one little thing, a simple little story song. And it's now here we are with Operation Tank Full of Love.
What's the history of that song? Do you just see it, or
I tell you what, I had been asked to lead worship in a denominational retreat, and I thought, well, how hard can that be? Well, they called me 2 days before the retreat, and they said, oh, there's a catch. You got to teach a class. Now, this was all pastors. That scared me slap to death. And so I decided I was going to speak on the importance of patriotism within the church. And that piqued some of their interest. I had a classroom full, and I had 30 minutes in which to come in and teach this class, and I'm nervous. And so I'm out on the coach, and all of a sudden I get covered up with goosebumps.
Yeah.
And when that happens for no reason, I know it's time for me to say,
Something's coming. Yeah.
And in 20 minutes' time, the Lord put that song on my heart, and it was written in 20 minutes, and it has been the most important song of our ministry.
And it opened up doors, and it led to this.
Commanders began to hear it, and they began to invite me to come to their military post. And then, just the desire to do something. I witnessed, I don't know if we have time to tell this.
Got about 40 seconds.
Seconds. This thought process started by watching my wife drop coins into a laundromat. We were in Swansboro, North Carolina, near Camp Lejeune. And my wife, she was married to one of the Marines we lost in the Beirut bombing. We were sitting there doing our laundry on the road one day, and I watched my wife. She gets up, and she just goes and starts dropping quarters in the dryers of all those military wives that were in there. And I thought, what a cool blessing. And it was just, and the Lord just impressed upon me, you know what? You're doing all these concerts and all that. It's not about you. It never has been about me. So I began to think, well, what can we do besides concerts that's of help to the military family? And the Lord just planted the seed for this whole thing. Yeah. So
God has blessed it, and we praise God. We took a little bit longer for you to get that in, and it was worth getting
Thank you.
I appreciate it. That number, 877-968-3742. You can call that number for Operation Tank Full of Love and be a part of thanking soldiers for putting themselves out there for us. Eric, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Love you, Alex. Great to hear your voice, brother.
God bless you both.
We'll be back with more of Exploring the Word right after the break. Don't you go away.
More than 1 million believers have signed the pledge to boycott Target, and we urge you to join them. The American Family Association opposes the policy of Target allowing transgenders into the bathroom of their choice. Here's AFA President Tim Wildman.
There's a reason why we've had male and female separation in restrooms and fitting rooms for all of mankind's history.
A policy which allows men into women's restrooms and fitting rooms is not right, nor is it safe.
I think the human resources departments of these major corporations are the tail wagging the dog, because I just can't see corporate executives at Target or anywhere else sitting around a table going, you know, guys, I think we need to open up our women's restrooms for men.
Visit AFA.net to learn more and sign the pledge to boycott Target. Don't spend your money at Target until they stop putting our family members at risk with this dangerous, politically correct policy. That's AFA.net.
This is Holy Land Moments, presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Today, Yael Eckstein shares an update on the challenges facing elderly Jews in Russia and what the fellowship is doing to help.
69-year-old Lilia shares an old, run-down home in Russia with her ailing husband and her 37-year-old daughter, Eva. With her father bedridden with illness, Eva attempts to help her mother out around the house, but sadly, Eva has her own problems. Eva has developmental disabilities and was born without a bladder. To this day, her life is a revolving door of doctor's visits and complex treatments. While the family suffers with so many physical ailments, they also live in poverty, and it is unlikely that the family's financial situation will improve anytime soon. Lilia receives a fair pension for 36 years of work as a teacher, but she spends most of this pension on medications for both Eva and her husband. Lilia's husband receives his own disability pension, but it's not enough, which is a shame considering that his health problems are the result of years of work in a dangerous factory. But not only does Lilia manage with grace, she finds time to volunteer with her local Jewish community, delivering meals on wheels to bedbound clients. Such a strong and loving woman deserves all the support available. Luckily, we at the Fellowship are able to keep her family warm and fed thanks to the support of Christians everywhere. She knows that many generous Christian and Jewish friends around the world care for her family and lift them up in prayer. That's what gives her strength to continue.
To receive Yael's Corner each week via email and to add Yael as a friend on Facebook, visit holylandmoments.org. You can also explore issues facing Israel today and learn about the Jewish roots of our Christian faith. That's holylandmoments.org.
Hey, it's Crane, and coming up at 5 Central on this afternoon's Nothing But Truth, Eric Horner stops in with an update on the Tankful of Love campaign, and he's bringing his guitar! Plus, we'll examine Hillary's latest email answer and have highlights of yesterday's press conference with President Obama. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR Talk.
You're listening to Exploring the Word. Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert on American Family Radio.
Amen. I hope you're holding on to God's promises. They are sure. Again, we're thankful that you could be on us with us on this Friday, and we're going to give you the phone number to call and ask your question. It is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And Alex and I would love to hear from you, 888-589-8840. Alex, now I know you got to tell us where you were right at the beginning, right while we're waiting for people to get online. What was the name of that camp again? It was interesting anyway.
Well, yeah, Rockahock, and it's spelled just like it sounds, Rockahock, Rockahock. And they're so gracious. I'm going to be speaking tonight. Keep me in prayer. I'm going to be speaking to families. There's hundreds of people here, moms, dads, and their kids. It's a camp, and Angie and I are up here, and so I'm on tonight and all day tomorrow. And so this is a special weekend, but listen, let me say this. Tomorrow is a very significant day in American church history. The Cane Ridge Revival started August 6, 1801, and folks, we are going to go to calls. I'm not going to take the whole show to tell you, but this is one of the most significant revivals Amen. That America ever had, and they estimate that there were somewhere between 10 and 30,000 people that descended on a small town outside of Lexington, Kentucky. Yep. And one historian had said at that point, prior to the Cane Ridge Revival, that America was in a darkness like the darkness of Egypt before Moses delivered the Israelites. Now think about into a very, very deep valley of spiritual darkness. God sent a revival 215 years ago, beginning this weekend. And Bert, maybe I'm naive, but I think I'm more of a realist. I think Jesus wants to send another revival.
Amen. Barton Stone, listen, you can get so much from the Cane Ridge Revival, and it was started by Presbyterian, then it spread to Methodist, and then the Baptist, and a lot of things came out of that were more in the line of what Pentecostals would be called today. Just a lot of things, and it's one of the great movements of God. You had the first Great Awakening, and then we had the Revolutionary War and darkness, but then this one was more in the inner lands, frontier mm-hmm. area, while the first Great Awakening was up and down the eastern seaboard. This one was everywhere, but more, I would say, more substantial up in the frontier lands of. And it was just great. So I appreciate that reminding us of that. I was reading about it just yesterday, matter of fact. Alex, right. I was just thinking about it and how I studied it in church history, and it was a blessing then. Well, we've got some people online. We've got one or two lines open. 888-589-8840 is the number. But first, we're going to go to Alabama and talk to Michael. Michael, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good afternoon. What's happened to your phone number? I've tried to contact you for at least 6 months, and there were several. The number was changed, and then there were some technical glitches. I was just curious. This is no accusation in my question.
We did change numbers because we changed sides of video, and then we went back. So there's been two changes in it, Michael. You got the question, brother? Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. This is what has worried me for several years, not just over the past several months. Now, I know that the book of Hebrews, the historical context, is about Messianic Jewish Christians who suffered tremendous persecution at the time from the Romans and maybe from the Pharisees, although we don't know who was the writer. We can't just assume it was St. Paul. Nonetheless, despite the background context, I'm still worried about several verses in chapters 3, that's in front of Timothy, chapters 3 from verse 7 through chapter 4, verse 11, also some verses in chapter 6 and chapter 10. All of these imply or specifically state faith and grace plus great sacrificial works plus water baptism plus, precarious I invented the terms precarious salvation and fickle salvation.
Okay.
And if you wonder what that means, just listen to verse 4. Therefore, when the promise, first verse of chapter 4, while the promise of entering his rest remains, let us fear, lest any of you be judged to have failed to reach it. Now, from there on, it says faith or lack of faith, but based on human standards, that sounds like Christ is going to say to us when we die, you had enough faith, but your works didn't cut the mustard. Your motives
Okay, Michael. Listen, I'm not trying to cut you off. I know it's been a while since you was able to get through with us, and I'm glad you got through today. But we got other callers, and I think we've got the thrust of your question there in those passages, because you're not the only one that has some issues with those, wondering everything they mean. Alex, you and I, we've discussed this. We went through the book of Hebrews. And it does say some things, but I think what you have here, as much as anything, is faith that is real does work. And mm-hmm. you've got to look at your faith to see, is your faith in Christ or is your faith in faith? Is your faith in Jesus Christ alone or Christ in someone else? And when it's in Christ, there will be evidence, won't there?
Exactly. And God bless you. Thank you for listening, and I'm glad you got back on the right number to contact us. And I love the book of Hebrews. I'm glad you're reading the book of Hebrews. Really, the theology in the book of Hebrews, I think, Bert, very much resonates with Paul. Now, let's talk about the authorship in a minute, maybe. But when Hebrews seems to issue warnings about the like those who've tasted the gospel of salvation but fell away, I think it's speaking of those who really weren't truly born again anyway. Because if you've come to Christ positionally, you're in Christ. I mean, your position has changed. You know, old things have passed away. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17, and we are. Very much assured of our salvation, 1 John 5:13. But in Hebrews, you know, it talks about in chapter 4, verse 2, it says, the message they heard did not profit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. I think if you look at Hebrews 4, verse 2, when the gospel message yields no fruit or profit, it's not because you didn't work enough or something like that, but it's because there wasn't faith in Christ there, Bert. I think Hebrews is not teaching a works salvation, but an absolute assurance and security for the one who's put their faith in Jesus.
And once you put your faith in Christ, I've talked about it many, many times, that is secure. You're secure in Christ. You just make sure that you're in Christ. You're not dependent on other things, but if your life has not been changed, according to Corinthians, Paul was writing there, and he was talking about a changed life. If a person has walked down the aisle, they've been ducked in the water, it really wasn't baptism because of their faith was not real, that's not going to change you. That will not. It is a faith in Jesus Christ alone that where change comes about. And when he does come in, there is change. And so I just make sure that you're walking in Christ. Michael, again, we're glad you got back with us, brother. And we look forward to hearing from you now that you got the right number. And thank God for you. Let's go to Texas. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me do something right quick, and maybe we'll do a show on this. Paul, as you know, back in Galatians chapter 2, Paul talks about the fact that he was entrusted with the gospel to the Gentiles, and Peter was entrusted with the gospel to the Jewish people. That's Galatians 2:7. But it's interesting, in 1 and 2 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter talks about Jewish people that he wrote to, that were dispersed. But later on in 2 Peter chapter 3, very fascinating, Peter alludes to the fact that Paul had written a letter to Jewish believers. Is the book of Hebrews that letter? Maybe. But at any rate, regardless of who wrote it, we know ultimately it was the Holy Spirit that wrote it. But I think maybe within the New Testament there's a covert indicator that from Peter that Paul was the author.
Okay, and that's why Hebrews is located in the list. You'll know Paul's writing starts with Romans, which is the largest, and goes down all the way. Is it Philemon where he ends, mm-hmm. which is the smallest, and then you have this big book of Hebrews, and it's because even then there was disagreement. And not surety of which apostle wrote it. But again, there's evidence of that, and I understand that. A lot of times I don't know for sure who wrote it, but it does have some Pauline ideas in it. I'll put it that way.
And it's a deep, deep book. I mean, I personally think Hebrews might be the most challenging book in the New Testament. Because it's written at like a PhD level, isn't it?
It is. It's the deep things, and Peter said Paul wrote many things which is difficult to understand. Maybe Hebrews. Okay, let's go to Texas and talk to Jeff. Jeff, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Gentlemen, enjoy your show. Quick question: I deal with a lot of youth through Sunday school and sports activities, and overheard a young man talking with his friends about Adam and Eve and saying that God kept making more people after Adam and Eve. I'm just trying to, personally, I think that God made Adam and Eve, and that's where the human race started from and went from there. And just trying to figure out a way to address this young man without, he's about 10, 11 years old. So any advice would be helpful.
Okay, Alex, is that one of the questions that kids ask in your 21 questions?
Do you know, yeah, we did a book called The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask, and then we did a video curriculum that has been very much blessed by God, and it's available at afastore.net. It is. Kids, I interviewed a couple of hundred families with kids ages 5 to 12, and then for books like Stand and Stand Strong in College, we've interviewed many high school and college kids. They always have questions about Adam and Eve, about the book of Genesis, because, you know, just naturally, young people want to know about our origins. You know, one of the questions, where do we come from? Now, the question, God can't make more people? Well, I think what we need to remember is this, that Adam and Eve were the first people, and through Adam and Eve, you know, God not only initiated the human race, but he initiated the, you know, reproductive process. God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. You know, God can do anything that is in harmony with his nature and in harmony with his word, but God doesn't make any more people the way he did. He started the human race by creating Adam from the dust of the ground. And by the way, it's very interesting. Do you know the composition of the human body, the iron and the proteins and the carbon? The mineral makeup of the human body is essentially the same as the elements found in soil. I think that's very interesting. But Eve was made from one of Adam's ribs. So I don't know if I would say God can't. I'm just saying God didn't, because it says Adam was the first man.
And I, according to DNA and looking at all of that, there seems to be a stream from one and not from many. I'm no scientist or anything, but I've heard you refer to that and others refer to that, Alex, about, you know, we come seemingly, science even shows of a beginning, but, you know, with the DNA.
The human race came from a single male-female pair around 100,000 years ago is what secular science is saying right now. Isn't that something?
It is. And so, Jeff, thank you for listening, and thank you for working with kids, with children, and making a difference. A lot of those children, we're all right, and just I'm telling you what, they need a male role model. And while we're there, let me give the number. We've got some lines that are open. We're going to take a break at the regular scheduled time, but we'll have some lines open if you got a question for us. And that number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. One of the ministries, Alex, that we have here at AFA is 1 Million Dads. And Jim Shumpert, he oversees that as well as other things. Most of the folks here do one or two things, more than just one thing. But, you know, one of the things is men that will be willing to work in their Sunday school class, the Little League, the Soccer League, and be a godly example. That is needed, isn't it, brother?
Well, it really is. It really is. And men, may God give you the strength, the courage, the obedience to step it up and be the spiritual leader of your household that God calls us to be. I love Deuteronomy 6 and Exodus 13 that really calls to passing the faith on to the next generation. Thank the Lord for godly moms, but also thank the Lord for the men of God that set the example in the family, because it really makes a lasting difference.
Okay. We're going to go to a break, and then when we come, we're going to wait a while. Let's go to Texas and talk to Isaiah. Isaiah, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello. Thank you, guys.
Yes.
I just wanted to ask, in Revelation, me and my friend were reading it the other day, and it was talking about when John was describing what was going on, he said something about wasps or bees in soldiers' uniforms, and me and my friend found that quite terrifying. And we know that it's not exactly probably meaning wasps, but if you guys could, like, translate that for us as to what it could be, clarify that for us, that would be great.
Okay. I appreciate that, Isaiah. Alex, you got any answers for those bees and wasps in those uniforms?
You know, you might be thinking about in Revelation 9. If you read Revelation 9, it talks about these locusts that were like horses prepared for battle. Let me read verses 7 through 9 here. It says, it says people will want to die, but they can't die. And there were locusts that appeared like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold. Their faces were like human faces. Their hair was long. Their teeth like lion's teeth. They had breastplates of iron. And the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. Tails like scorpions. Okay, what is going on here? Maybe John, who got this panoramic view of the future, because if you read Revelation 4 through 20, the tribulation years, we believe that that is future. That hasn't happened yet. Maybe John was trying to describe, you know, maybe these were humans that were in some sort of, flying device. Maybe they had weapons on, they had armor, and they had some kind of a drone they were riding in, some motorized air thing, and he compared them to locusts because that was, you know, the best way he could describe what he was seeing. But at any rate, there was a lot of danger and death.
There was. And in the book of Isaiah, you have that, and it's difficult to know. Okay, literal, and this is kind of a symbolic or looking like something, and that what makes Revelation real interesting. You're listening to Exploring the Word, Alex and Bert, and we'll be back right after the break.
Are you falling on the rock or waiting for the rock to fall on you? Luke 20:18 says, whoever falls on Christ will be broken, but on whoever he falls, they'll be crushed. I believe brokenness is preceded by repentance. It seems that many people today have lost their desire to talk about the word repentance. The Greek word repentance means an about face, a 180-degree turn. It's turning from our sin, our pride, our selfishness, turning to Christ and falling on him. Repentance is not a one-time act. It's a lifestyle. And the question is not, have you ever repented? It's rather, are you repenting? Repentance is saying, Lord, everything in my life that is sin, anything you show me in the future to be sin, I give it all up for you. As you cry out to God today in prayer, ask him to give you a continual heart attitude of repentance. Fall on the rock. Don't wait for the rock to fall on you. I'm Steve Canfield, revivalist at Life Action Ministries for OneCry.com.
Truth for Youth is for every teenager who commits to give a Bible to their unsaved friends in school. Here's Tim Todd of Revival Fires International.
We kick God out. Everything that's happening in our public schools is a direct result, I believe, of kicking God out of the schools. What we need to do is let them know they were made in the image of God.
Help change a young person's life starting Monday during Truth for Youth Bible Week on American Family Radio.
This is Steve Conover inviting you to listen to the Friends of Israel Today each week on this station. Here's our host and Bible teacher, Chris Katulka.
Hey everybody, the Friends of Israel Today is a unique radio show that teaches biblical truth for changing times. We do this through Q&A, timely interviews, dramatic readings from the life of Holocaust survivor Zvi Kalischer, and of course, Bible teaching.
To learn more, visit foiradio.org.
Join us for Friends of Israel Today, Sunday morning at 11:30 Central, here on AFR Talk.
Jan Harper, wife of Pastor Bert Harper.
Sometimes it feels like I'm living in a fishbowl. You know what I mean? When your husband is a church leader, your family is constantly being watched. That's why we offer the AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat. And our guest speaker this year is American Family Radio's J.J. Jasper.
I'm very excited to be a speaker, and I'll be sharing comedy at this year's Fishbowl Retreat. I'm especially excited that my wife, Melanie, will minister to the pastor's wives. When speaking at women's events, she shares, if Satan can discourage you, he can defeat you.
If you could use 3 days and 2 nights of relaxation among people who understand your challenges, then join us for the AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat.
This year's retreat is scheduled for October 4th through 6th at the Linden Valley Conference Center in Tennessee. Get details at repairingthefoundations.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 300.
And we'll see you there.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness.
You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. We're going to try to get to as many questions as we can. So sometimes it may just be me answering or Alex answering, but we're going to see how many we can get in. Let's go to Texas and talk to David. David, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello, how are you?
Doing great.
Hey, I have one question. So I was an atheist for a large portion of my life. I'm 28 now, and I've accepted Christ, and I've been in him for about 7 years now. So I'm still growing and learning in this whole process. And part of my confusion came when, you know, I had all these secular studies that told me about evolution and everything like that. And probably about a year or 2 years ago, I watched that debate with Ken Ham and Bill Nye, in which Ken Ham had stated that the Earth is only 6,000 years old. So I just wanted to know your viewpoint on that and if you feel that that's correct or if he's, you know, off base in that assumption.
Okay, Alex, you answer that question. Go ahead, brother.
Well, God bless you. I'm glad you're a Christian now, and welcome to the faith and the family. Do you know, one of the big things that has been a conundrum for people is debate over the age of the earth. And biblically, you really don't have any basis for millions of years. In fact, even Bill Dembski, who is an old earth creationist, he does believe in God and creation, and he's a devout Christian. He's a friend of mine. Bill Dembski is a believer for sure. But he believes in the old earth, millions and billions of years. And I lovingly but respectfully disagree. But even Bill Dembski, in a big panel discussion we did in front of a couple of thousand people, admitted that prior to Darwin, there was no hermeneutical tradition for the old earth. And hermeneutics is how we unpack the Bible. So you need to understand that the key to get in heaven is not what you believe about the age of the earth. It's, do you have a relationship with Jesus? However, let me just challenge people. If you're going to believe God's word, believe it. Science changes. In Paris, there's a library with 12 miles of bookshelves of science books that were thought to be true at one time and were later shown to be incorrect. I'm just going to believe what the Bible says, and there is science that points to a recent creation. We're going to get to more calls right now, but let me just refer you to the website Answers in Genesis, and there are a lot of PhDs that don't accept the millions of years of evolution, and I certainly don't either.
You're talking about science changing. Real quickly, we had people in on Thursday telling us about eating healthier. And they said one of the most the things that you can eat for breakfast that is healthy is an egg. And just about 10 years ago, they were warning us about eggs and what all the damage they'd do. And science changes the way that does. So anyway, David, I agree with Alex. Welcome to the family. And brother, listen, I think you can go to the Bible and see of the young earth. And really, if you'll get at some creation scientists that I've know and met, there's evidence for it too. So I appreciate that, brother. And again, keep listening. Let's go to Montana and talk to Harry. Harry, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for taking the call. I enjoy your program. It's given me some insight into the Bible I never had before.
Amen, brother.
My question deals with the Old Testament, in particular two locations. Genesis chapter 6 says that at one point in time, there were giants on the earth. I think it's funny.
Yeah, that's it. You're right.
6:4.
Yeah.
And then again, back here in 1 Samuel 17, where David comes up against Goliath, it gives his height, everything, as 6 cubits and a span. And my version says that he was descended from giants. Could you clarify that? Is there a connection?
Okay.
Or what does? How does God use the term giants? Does he refer to men of great size, or just strength and
Okay. Well, let's go, Harry. That's great, and you've identified that. Alex, you and I, Genesis chapter 6, it leads the way in the most questions that we ask, that are asked of us here on Exploring the Word. And exactly. What about these giants? There's no doubt Goliath stood, 9 feet, close to 9 feet?
Yeah, about 9 feet tall. And so he was huge in stature. Let me say, I love the 1 Samuel 17, David and Goliath. And what I believe about the Nephilim of Genesis 6, the giants in the land, that they were pagan, violent, carnal people from the line of Seth. And they were huge in stature. I don't think they were supernatural beings. And the question is, could some demon procreate with a human? Because it talks about the sons of God desired, human women. I think about this. There have been a lot of people in history that were huge. I mean, there was a man, he came to my town, Greensboro, way before I was born, Robert Wadlow from England, that was nearly 9 feet tall. He was 8 feet 11 and change. And still to this day, they talk about when Robert Wadlow came to Greensboro. So 9 feet tall doesn't necessarily mean it had to be some sort of supernatural being, does it, Bert?
It does not. And Harry, I would say this about the giants in the land. Even today, there are certain groups of people that are taller in their area, in their society, and others, and then some smaller. I remember, I don't know this, today it would be politically incorrect, but I grew up watching Tarzan movies, Alex, okay? And here was Tarzan, swinging on the vines through the jungles, And sometimes there would be a tribe of what they call pygmies back then, And it was a whole tribe. And so you get different things, and you do have that all through history. And the Bible locates that concerning Goliath and at least his family, Whether it was a whole nation or not, I don't know. But it seemed like it was at least Goliath and his family, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And, there are medical conditions. I'm probably going to pronounce this incorrectly, but acromegaly is a disease of the pituitary gland that has caused, excessive growth and giantism or gigantism. And there have been a lot of people that have been huge in stature. Goliath was one of them. My point being, we don't know. Genesis 6 is one of those doubtful disputations. It's not a matter of salvation where you land on it, but I really don't. The question is, could demons have procreated with humans? And I don't think so.
I don't
Therefore,
either.
The giants of Genesis 6 had to be whatever they were, but they were humans.
Let me give this, and then we're going to move on to Ted real quickly. But listen, in play, I've come to this point in some scriptures that are difficult to know and understand completely. I praise God for them. Okay, it's not that I question God. I praise God because it lets me know that He is bigger than I am, and I need Him desperately. If I need Him to understand Scripture, how much more do I need Him to understand life? And I appreciate you listening up in Montana, Harry. Let's go to Ohio and talk to Ted. Ted, welcome.
Hello.
Yes, you're on, brother. Welcome.
Okay. My question, you're pretty certain that God only created Adam and Eve and then no others. But if that were the case, then God had to mark Cain so other people wouldn't kill him. And if there were that many people, there would only be siblings and nieces and nephews and direct descendants. It's not like Eve. I don't think Eve had hundreds of male offspring and hundreds of female offspring, so why would they have to mark him if it was just his, nieces and nephews and brothers and sisters?
Amen. Thank you, Ted. There's the other second most asked question. Alex, we were getting them today. Did they have enough children and they had departed that when it happened with Cain and Abel, they were older and that their other children had left and settled in other places?
Yeah. You know, in Genesis chapter 4, it says that there's going to be Cain is going to be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. And people ask, you know, then whom did Cain marry? Cain would have married a sister, but, you know, Adam living over 900 years, it's different people have run mathematical models on this. You know, Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel. They had kids. You know, by the way, all of us in some way or another really marry a sibling because, as we said, you know, science, I was reading a science journal the other day that says, you know, the human race descended from a single male-female pair. So we're all brothers and sisters, really. We all marry a sibling in a way. But Cain would have married a sibling, and in the 900 years that Adam and Eve were around, the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, it's been estimated that, you know, within a few hundred years, I mean, there would have been hundreds of thousands of people on the planet. So the growth curve of the human population was near vertical. And God had said, be fruitful and multiply, and they certainly did. And thus Cain would have had plenty of, you know, there would have been ample opportunity for him to find a wife.
And his prediction and his mark, Ted, was not just for those that were living at that time, but those that would be born and living after he left, okay? So there was the mark of the present, but there was also that mark for the protection of the future. And so I still believe the biblical model stands strong enough for that. And we appreciate you listening. Thanks for calling. We're going to try to get in one more call today, and it's in Iowa with Steve. Steve, welcome.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. Listen, I used to be involved in Freemasonry for a number of years. And praise God, at the same time I was attending church, and there was a pastor who shared a book called The Deadly Deception. And it really gave me conviction from the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I got out and I've been doing research, and now I'm trying to help others to understand how Freemasonry is alive from the pit of hell, and that they are not understanding what exactly is going on in there. Okay, so Hosea 4:6a is one of my main scriptures. My people perish for lack of knowledge. And but as you read in the New Testament, in Matthew 5:34-37, and James 5:12, the first one is Jesus speaking, the other one is James, you know, his brother, and they're almost identical in what they say. You shall not take an oath, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything more is of the enemy, is what Jesus says in Matthew. But in James, rather than saying it's of the enemy, it says it condemns you.
Yeah.
My question is, if you are a Christian and you are involved in Freemasonry, are you possibly going to end up, you know, being condemned because you're a part of Freemasonry, or is that something that maybe God is going to, you know, kind of overlook before?
Okay. Because you've Steve, thank you, brother. We're going to – got. I hate to cut you short. Listen, we got blind spots. There was people that were Christians that were in the South that were saying, yes, slavery was right. They were wrong because the Bible was wrong. You can be saved and wrong. Alex, get real quick. We got about 40 seconds.
Well, if you're a Christian, your primary loyalty in terms of service is to your family and to the local church. And let me just say this. If you're serving your family, walking with your Savior, and involved in your church, you're not going to have time for much other extracurricular activities.
I would say that, but there are some people that are involved in Freemasonry that are believers. They've been friends of mine. But Steve, thank you, and thank you for you following the Lord and doing what's serving Him. We'll be back next week with more of Exploring the Word, but in the meantime, tell someone about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.